sometimes, you know, it's nice just to get together to mark an occasion, you know, the opening day. It's a special day in any fishery. And when it comes so close after Christmas and the first day of the new year, it is a special day. And, you know, there's sometimes rods wouldn't be cast in anger, but it's an opportunity to meet up with people and catch up.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. We're back for another year, another season, and more interviews and conversations in 2024. In a minute, we'll hear from Shane Gallagher of the Drowse Fishery to tell us how the season started there, and as well as news of the first salmon of the season from the Lennon. But Tom, first, after all the festivities, are you looking forward to dusting down the rod and the line shortly?
No, Dara, happy new year to you.
Happy new year.
And happy new year to all the listeners. Yeah, there's always something about it. Just after New Year, that's it. Festivities are over. Holiday season is coming to an end. And I suppose we all kind of look forward to the season ahead. Now, for some of us, it's closer than others. Like, for some people, they've already been out up in the Drowse or further afield up in the Lennon. For me here in the Corrib, I've only 5.5 weeks to wait. Other people, it's March. But look, it's something to look forward to. Dust down things. We start getting at the tackle now shortly. Looking at things, getting lines clear.
Do you start getting the calls? Boxes. Do you start getting the calls from clients?
Oh, to tell you, but sure, I always say, chatting myself and the buddies, Mike and myself, and often say, phone starts hopping after the first week in January. People are just, how are you? How's it going? Do you know, I just said I'd ring you to see how things are.
Hope you're keeping well.
Will you go out and all of that? So yeah, it is nice. And I think also as well, and it's a nice thing about us anglers, is that, you know, you talk to people and they talk post-Christmas, post-holiday, PhD, post-holiday depression. You know, at least, you know, particularly here, we've something to look forward to in the middle of February. And for most people, it's the 1st of March. So it's kind of quick, whereas, you know, you didn't have that fishing to get you through. It's, you know, January and February are tough months.
They're
dark months.
And that's what I like to know. I like kind of making plans for trips and stuff, you know, just later in the year, even kind of saying, right, where can I go? Where can I head? Because, you know, put it in the diary. There's no backing out, hopefully. But we're hopefully going to get up to the Drowse maybe as well. That's my New Year's resolution. Because many of my fishing trips have just been cancelled for work or whatever crap. So...
You had, and what did she say? Ananas horribilis?
it was of epic proportions.
Last year, I'd say you had about 20 trips cancelled.
So I'm going to have to just work less, fish more. That's my resolution.
Well, I think just pen down a couple and say, that's it, I'm going. No sidetracking, no... Listen, for example, we have the ferries paid for the Orkneys.
You see, when you have stuff paid for, it's harder to get out of it. That's what I always think.
But no, what you were saying there, we're hoping to get up to the Drowse. I'd love to get up. Never fished it, so we'll see when we can get up to it. And there's a few other places that we've both been mentioning about getting to. But
yeah, we must draw up a list.
I'm telling you.
Although, in fairness, like for you, once kind of. You know, March.
Once for after the first week of March, sayonara. Yeah. Yeah.
Forget about it. But look, we'll get a few trips in.
Yeah, we will. Well, and tell you, hopefully you'll have a good year this year.
Famous last words. Glass half full, glass half full, glass half full. That's my other new resolution.
That's it. Right. Oh my God.
Okay, well, look, let's hear from Shane Gallagher of the Drowse Fishery and to give us more an update on the opening day of the season there and also the first salmon of the season that was caught from the Lennon in Donegal.
Well, it had been looking pretty good in the run-up to Christmas. We were getting some work done on the walkways and things like that. Water levels were looking ideal. And then we just had about a fortnight of very heavy rain and wind and storm. So the river's... 9.3 something like that on the gauge. So unfortunately for opening day we got much more rain and water than we would have wished, so conditions aren't ideal. There was probably a smaller crowd than usual on opening day itself. I think that's been the trend, really. I suppose there hasn't been an opening day fish here with us now for 10 years or 11 years. So but a few hardy souls did brave it, but the day itself started off lovely, a nice dry morning, bright morning, and then by the afternoon conditions had really deteriorated. There was a lot of wind and rain and got very cold, so a lot of people just had an early day, you know.
Yeah, put the rods in the car and head home then, as you do. Tell me this, Have you ever thought about, like, giving second thoughts to opening on January 1st?
Well, it is a tradition. There's you know, very few rivers that are open that early, and you know, I think even the likes of the Liffey, the Lennon, where the first fish was caught this year. There is something about opening on the first. Of course, if the regulations ever changed, you know, of course we would comply with that. But I think as long as the option is there to open early, I don't think that opening early is doing any harm, really. To stock, certainly for the last while. Okay, like, you know, there are going to be kelts, you know, caught and played, but that's going to happen in early spring fishing anyway, no matter, like, right into April in many instances, you know.
And in fairness, Shane, you know, I do it for the Blackwater as well here near me, is there's just something about marking the date in the calendar and the occasion, isn't it, like?
Well, you know yourself, Dara, sometimes New Year's resolutions don't go past the 1st of January. So everybody...
reach midday.
...has the best of intentions to do more fishing and absolutely, or cut back on the drink or whatever it is. But getting out on the 1st of January, you know, to start doesn't mean to continue. It doesn't always work out that way. But, you know, people get new gear for Christmas. They want to go out, maybe have a couple of casts. They want to meet up with people. Unfortunately, this past season, you know, it was a bad season fishing wise, but we did lose, unfortunately, a lot of regular anglers as well. So sometimes, you know, it's nice just to get together to mark an occasion. You know, the opening day, it's a special day in any fishery, and when it comes so close after Christmas and the first day of the new year, it is a special day. And you know, there's sometimes rods wouldn't be cast in anger, but it's an opportunity to meet up with people and catch up.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there, Shane, as well, is, like, even when, like, 11 years ago and more, when there was always a good chance of the opening fish, it was still a tradition then too. Do you know? I don't think people were going with huge hopes of catching fish. It was just more of getting out on the 1st of January.
Absolutely. Yeah? I think so, yeah. And you know yourself, it's lovely to spend Christmas with the family and see friends, but the cabin fever does set in, so any excuse to get away for a day sometimes is jumped on as well.
And tell me, we just mentioned there the first fish, but before we go on to that, was there any close calls at all with you on the opening
day? No, I didn't hear of... I had been speaking to a couple of guys that were actually out shooting in the run-up to Christmas along the riverbank, and they had seen fresh fish down in the deeper area, a place called the Washstones. But on the day itself, I certainly didn't hear of any reports of fresh fish.
The honour of the first salmon of the year went to the Lennon River this year.
Absolutely, yeah. James Kelly, I think the gentleman's name is, got fish there in Motspiel and Lennon. It's great to see that there is, you know, fresh fish on opening day or around the coast. So, like, obviously, you can't read too much into it, but hopefully it'll bode well for the spring run and for early fish throughout the country.
And Shane, was that one of the earliest in recent years?
I think it has been, like, certainly with ourselves, the last time there was a fish caught on the 1st of January was 2013, so that's 11 years ago now. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think there's been open day fish that have been reported, certainly since then.
Wow. Actually, I don't know anything about the Lennon. It's up in Donegal. You might give us a little overview of it.
Yeah, so it would have always been known as a very productive early spring salmon fishery. The Watts Pool there, you know, it's like a temperature barrier there, so fish coming in tend to stay there, and it's always a fantastic bet for an open day fish. At the moment, they're on catch and release. I think this year and last year, it had been closed, I think, for a number of years. So it's great to see it back open and productive again.
Tell me, Shane, is that the system which Loch Fearn is at the top of it?
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Loch Fearn used to be prolific salmon lake at one stage, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was very badly affected by UDN in the 1970s and early 80s. So yeah. I think that really, really, really had a serious effect on it.
What size of the fish do we know?
The fish, I think it was 58 centimetres or 68 centimetres. So I think maybe 8 to 9 pounds, as far as I know, yeah.
Was it on a flying sea, was it? Or?
I think it was a pink flying sea, to the best of my knowledge, yes. Yeah.
I just, because I only saw it last night, was it actually caught on the 1st or the 2nd?
It was caught on the 1st. I think there was reports online that it had been caught here, but it wasn't. It was caught on the Lennon, on the Watts Pool on the Lennon, yeah.
On the 1st, wow.
That's right. Yeah. I think around lunchtime. Yeah.
Well, look, I know we'll grasp at any straws, but like, you know, fingers crossed it augurs well, you know. Fresh salmon cotton, January the 1st.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, of course, you can't read too much into these things, but it certainly gives you hope that the fish are going to, you know, just going to be a few early spring fish appearing, and hopefully they'll come in good numbers this year.
So tell us about
2023. I prefer to talk about 2024.
Signal's going, sorry, signal's going. You can't hear me. What?
Who fears to speak of 23?
2023 was, you know, it was certainly one to forget. You know, there is no excuses. You can say there was extremes in weather. You know, we had a very dry dry springtime here, anyways, and then we had the floods. You know, when the water did come, it came incessantly. So really, two extremes, but. The spring run, I suppose, was, you know, it held up reasonably well. But what we noticed here was that the grills were very, very poor. It was very, very disappointing, very worrying, actually. They just didn't seem to arrive. We were expecting when the water levels sort of came that, you know, you hear about the huge amounts of fish out in the bay, and the water did rise then, and we had maybe three days of reasonably good fishing. And then it just was... It just petered out. So by about maybe the end of July, you're nearly wishing for the season to end, really, you know. So unfortunately, that was the case. But you know, I wouldn't be catastrophizing about the year. It's a bad year. The thing that would give me hope for this season is that, you know, if you look back at the catch data from the tagging schemes. Anytime there was a big decline, you know, and we've seen declines of up to 40% in runs year on year. Mostly that has been on the grill side of things. If you look at the multi-sea winter fish, it has been generally consistent, and there hasn't been a huge drop off in those 20 plus years, really. But the big variation has been year to year in grills. But I think only once have we seen. Two consecutive years of decline. Normally, you see a big decline in the grills run and a huge rebound the following year. So that would give me hope, certainly, for 2024. Probably the previous worst season since 2023. Now, we don't have the full catch statistics for 2023 yet, but 2014 was a pretty poor year as well. But then we see a rebound after that. So. It's like peaks and troughs almost each consecutive year. So you have maybe, you know, you're up maybe 20 or 30%, you're down, you know, 20%. So hopefully after a poor season last year, we'll see a good rebound in 2024. Obviously, that's there's no guarantee of that. And, you know, you're gazing into a crystal ball here, but that's what I would be hopeful of, certainly, for the season ahead.
Shane, what is it like? You know, it's nearly a bit like a farmer that you're so dependent on the weather, you know, that it's outside your control, you know, as a businessman, you know, in terms of running the fishery. What's it been like for you personally over the last few years? You know, has it taken its toll? Have you found it tough?
Well, you know, you have to be optimistic. What is frustrating is you can have everything in place. You can have, you know, every year you invest in the fishery. And really, everything is in the lap of the gods. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was looking well for opening day. You're hoping things are going to be good, and then you can be washed out, or you know, you can have a very dry period, and where you know nobody's turning up. Or I know it would be the same for gillies. You know, people have booked in advance; they're taking a chance, and you know, it's a long day if you're out on the water. I'm sure Tom knows. And there's no fish being about, or there's no prospect of fish, and that's very difficult. So, you know, we're lucky in a way. We have a very loyal customer base, and they're, you know, they know the story. They've been coming for years. We have a good relationship with them. They're not going to blame you so much if you know, they're not catching fish. But certainly, on a personal point of view, you want people that have made the effort to come to stay with you or come to visit. For a day, you want them to either catch fish or see fish, or you know, have the opportunity you know, to catch fish. I certainly wouldn't like to be, you know, living on past glories. And, you know, what we want here is to be a fully open fishery with, you know, and be, you know, have a realistic chance of being overfished.
Is there anything more that can be done, do you think, in terms of the product that you're trying to sell or the wider kind of what's available to people? I know before you've touched on that, isn't it, in terms of, you know, trying to widen the net, so to speak, in terms of your kind of consumer audience?
Yeah, like, I suppose, Dara, to be honest, it's a big jump to take. Like, our bread and butter is fishing. That is our core.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you have to think about alternatives, because not just with maybe diminishing fish runs, but with legislation that's around the corner, or, you know, who knows? Like, I had a very productive eel fishery here, and at the stroke of a ministerial pen, it was finished. That was, you know, an income stream that ended, even though, in my opinion, it was certainly sustainable here. So you don't know what's going to happen in the future. It's uncertain. And that can be frustrating sometimes. But, you know, what point do you sort of abandon your core business and look at alternatives? And maybe those alternatives are just a distraction. So, you know, we've weathered storms before. Like, you know, my dad operated here during the Troubles. You know, and where it was a big ask for people to come with poor transport links and everything. So, you know, we're going to keep going, and we're going to concentrate on salmon fishing, and as long as we can, and hopefully, you know, things will improve. Like, if you do look at the past statistics as well, say 20 years ago, let's say I'm running a fishery since 2002. If you look at the figures then, there was about maybe 36,000 licenses sold. And now it's halved now. I think there's maybe 17,000 licenses sold 20 years later.
Okay.
But the catch per angler has actually increased. And, like, you know, nobody, you know, it's all a tale of doom and gloom. But sometimes if you dig into the figures, you can be surprised by the results.
Although that is interesting. I didn't realize that about the licenses. Yeah, that's halved.
Yeah.
To me, that's a wake up call for those running fishing in this country.
Like, I'm sure Tom would agree that if there was, say, a competition on the lake that he was fishing, and there was maybe 20 boats, or say, 20 boats out, and there was maybe, I don't know, 40 fish caught, and then the next year there was only 20 fish caught, but only half the lake was being fished and only half the amount of boats out, you know, would it be fair to conclude that fish numbers had dropped by 50%, or maybe the factor of the, you know, less anglers, and, like, you know, a huge amount of fisheries are closed in the country, fisheries that have produced a lot of fish in the past. So
yeah, I agree with you there totally, actually, Shane. And it's a very interesting point you brought up there. I mean, I know, and, like, we leave 2023 out of it because it's been a tough year, right? But it's a very interesting point that you brought up there with the license. Okay, half a monthly license, but the catch per license has gone up. Now, how we measure, let's say in trout angling, how we measure competition success is catch per angler.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you look at it. So, you know, we might have, let's say, take an example of a competition where 40 guys recorded, let's say 60, let's say 40 guys recorded 35 trout. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year, only 20 fish it, but they record 35 trout. Well, that's actually an improvement in the fishing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
You know,
but the general consensus will always be that, you know, it's not as good as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've often said it here. Sorry, getting waylaid a bit, but I'm really into old books, and I have a book written in 1900, Lochs and Loch Fishing in Scotland. And the guy opens up the opening chapter, I think, on Loch Tay, saying there's no doubt in my mind, and this is beside a picture of like it's like a fish kill.
Uh-huh.
And he says, there's no doubt in my mind that the fishing in Loch Tay was far superior 30 years ago than it is today. Right? You know, so we do have a habit of saying that.
I think so. And, you know, everything is true, rose-tinted glasses. Now, having said that, I like in no way am I denying that there has been a decline in salmon numbers returning to Irish shores, like there has been everywhere. That is the reality, and that can't be denied. But I think maybe the scale of it, and especially, okay, you can maybe ask, are the angler catch returns that a lot of this information is based on, is it accurate? And, you know, you often hear about people, anecdotally, everybody's filling in 10 fish on their logbooks. That's what's stuffing the numbers. The real situation is much worse. If you look at the salmon statistics from 2022, the latest ones that are available, of the 17-odd thousand anglers that, you know, could well have filled in the maximum amount of 10 salmon caught, 58 did. So it's less than half of 1%. So, like, it's probably more likely that those anglers did genuinely catch 10 salmon rather than their, you know, stuffing the numbers to inflate the figures.
It's like you mentioned the regular anglers there in the drows, the Blackwater be the regular for me. And it is half of it is just, what if, you know, if I'm not going out expecting to catch a fish, you know.
No.
You know, and especially in the early season when I'm going out in the first few months, I'm going out because I know the people down there, I like the company, you know, I know the water, you know, and I'm sure that's kind of maybe where you're focusing, isn't it, for the drows, in terms of that's what the anglers, the regulars get out of it, you know?
I think so, yeah. Like, it is the camaraderie, and, you know, it's the same as if you're in any society or social group or club. It's, you know, they're the people that you have built up a relationship with and talked to on the riverbank for years and years. So, it's about interpersonal relationships and people with common interests sharing some time together.
Yeah, and maybe there should be less focus on the catching and maybe more focus on that, you know.
Obviously, you know, people are there primarily to catch fish, but if you were totally just concentrating on fishing, we're going to be like, you have to temper your expectations in the current climate, and like, you know, for new people coming over maybe to stay with us, And sometimes I've had this experience in the past. If you work with maybe a travel agent and they're going to tell somebody that's going to visit, you know, come here and you're going to catch this, you're going to catch that. You have to be honest with people, and you have to be realistic with people, and you have to temper their expectations and say, you may well not catch anything. And, you know, so I do, you know, you have to be honest with people. It's as simple as that.
Well, looking ahead to the season, Shane, myself and Tom want to organise a road trip. When should we head up?
I'll let you know.
Should have been here yesterday.
keep the phones on. Yeah. Well,
because we definitely want to come up, so we'll talk some more about kind of, you know, how the fishery's going and the season is going. But Shane, tight lines for 2024, and we look forward to hearing the first fish in the drows as well.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you, Dara, and I wish you a good season yourself and Tom and all your listeners as well.
Our thanks to Shane Gallagher for joining us on the show. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the Ireland on the Fly podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Plus, you can keep up to date on IrelandOnTheFly.com as well as on Instagram. And myself and Tom will be back with another episode about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland.